science, learning, business, community. You. Welcome to Think Works, the podcast for people who like to think. Because thinking is the hardest work there is. Come with us on a journey into the world of ideas with your host, Darren Smithson.
Hello and welcome to ThinkWorks, the place where we like to do all the heavy lifting when it comes to thinking. And this week, I want to pick up on a theme that we started to explore several episodes ago when I did the Enduring Legacy of Frankenstein episode. I'm going to be doing an episode soon on Dracula. And it got me thinking about the whole idea about the monster motif. And so this episode is going to serve as kind of like a prequel to the Frankenstein episode. And to as a prequel, of course, the prologue to the Dracula episode that I'll be doing shortly. So what is the monster motif? Why are we fascinated by monsters in fiction, in stories and folklore and mythology, and even in our own fears and nightmares? Monsters are there all the time. And there's a lot of reasons why they resonate, even in modern times, with us, even if the actual identity of monsters has evolved. So let's go back to the origins of monsters in mythology as a starting point. So cultures across the globe have long been populated with monsters, from the Kraken in Norse myths to the Sirens in Greek legends. And these creatures, they often symbolize forces beyond human control or the dangers lurking in unexplored regions. Monsters in mythology served, therefore, two purposes. There were explanations for unexplainable phenomena and cautionary figures that enforce moral and societal norms. So, for example, dragons appeared in myths worldwide, representing chaos or evil that had to be subdued by heroes. While sirens, they basically warned of the perils of temptation. And our fascination with monsters traces back to those ancient times, when myths and legends were essential, therefore, in explaining the world around us. So let's take a close look at some of those. So that I mentioned the Kraken. Now, the Kraken originated from Norwegian folklore and is a legendary sea monster said to dwell off the coasts of Norway and Greenland. And this enormous creature, first documented in the 12th century, was often used to explain, therefore, the mysterious disappearances of ships. And it embodies that fear of the vast, uncharted waters, a fear in some ways that we're now taking as we face outwards into space, you know, our aliens out there. So there's no real difference between Kraken and the monstrous ship from Independence Day. It's that fear of what's out there in the great depths of the unknown. Sirens, on the other hand, from Greek mythology, they were initially bird-like creatures that evolved into the enchanting sea mermaids that we see today. They symbolized the dangers of seduction and the consequences of giving into temptation. And these were first mentioned in Homer's Odyssey, which was around the 8th century BC, where they lured sailors to their doom with irresistibly beautiful songs. And also they only showed the top half of their bodies, which were very voluptuous and very comely, shall we say, and often naked. Dragons, they've got diverse portrayals across many cultures. So in Western thought, dating back to the time of the Norse sagas, which was around 1200 CE, they symbolise chaos and evil and an obstacle for heroes to overcome. In contrast, Eastern dragons, appearing in Chinese lore as early as 2000 BC, they often represented power, strength, good fortune. So dragons became opposing symbols in the different cultures, which I find quite fascinating even in its own right. If we look at that then, and we think about that, we need to look at how monsters have evolved then over time. So they moved from that trying to explain unexplainable events, as it was back in ancient times. But even as we moved into medieval and early modern periods, monsters began to actually reflect the fears of the societies at the time. So they really did begin to reflect more human fears and anxieties, and psychological undercurrents came to the fore in this period as well. So werewolves, for example, the werewolf legend has roots in various cultures, notably appearing in Greek and Roman mythology as far back as that. But it gained prominence in Europe during the 15th through to the 17th centuries, amid witch trials and widespread social hysteria. These creatures represented the fear of losing control to primal and animalistic instincts, and the duality of human nature, which is still present today. That duality is still there. You only have to look around and see what's happening in the news and in the world. But it's also this concept of the beast inside can emerge and wreak havoc. And often, of course, it's an excuse. It's to justify actions. It's a defense that it wasn't me, it was the monster inside. And all that came to the fore more and more during that middle period of the 15th and 17th centuries. Now, you might think zombies are a modern day invention of The Walking Dead and George Romero with his zombie movies, but the modern concept of zombies actually originated from Haitian folklore and voodoo practices, which were introduced to the broader public through travelogues in the 19th and early 20th centuries. These beings represented fears of enslavement and loss of free will initially, because the zombies were controlled, they were given direction. But post 1960, with movie interpretations like Romero's Night of the Living Dead, this shifted basically the idea of zombies to embody fears of conformity and societal breakdown and pandemic-like scenarios, which resonate even more so today with what we've been through with COVID and what have you. And all those anxieties are basically embodied in the idea of we turn into these zombies. And we always know that we're kind of like five ready meals away from anarchy. And if there is such an outbreak and society does quickly break down, then this whole idea of having these uncontrollable urges to eat and act and be becomes this living idea of the zombie. Mummies, originating from ancient Egyptian practices, emerged in Western consciousness predominantly during the 19th century as well. And these were spurred by Egyptomania and archaeological expeditions. It was like almost every week there was an archaeological expedition into the Middle East. And the whole idea of mummies is that they symbolise this permeability between life and death. And in particular, they reflected Victorian fascinations with death preservation and the unknown. And from that, of course, you had the literary monsters appear in the 19th century, most predominantly, of course, Dracula and Frankenstein. Now, Dracula, through Bram Stoker's pen in 1897, embodied the fear of foreign and the contagions of modernity. Frankenstein, on the other hand, in 1818 by Mary Shelley, explored themes of creation and responsibility and the hubris of humans trying to play God. These monsters reflect deeper societal concerns about scientific progress and moral follies, and they still resonate in today's technological era. And if you go back and listen to that Enduring Legacy of Frankenstein episode that I did a few months ago, we go into more detail on that. And of course, when I do the Dracula episode in a week or two, then we'll go into more detail about how Dracula reflected those fears and anxieties, and in particular that fear of the unknown and the foreign, because the world was opening up and suddenly all these different cultures were being brought to everyone's conscious mind. And when you look at what's happening in the world today and the whole immigrants are to blame for everything kind of narrative that we seem to get pushed upon us by people who seek to divide to rule, then you can see that that still plays even today into the hands of people who know how to use that fear of the foreign. So we'll talk more about that in the Dracula episode. But basically, I just wanted to give you a little context for each of those monsters and highlight how they emerged from the cultural and psychological needs of the time to address and articulate those specific fears. And each iteration of monsters tells us really more about our ancestors' concerns and imagines contemporary echoes into our own cultural psyche. Now, in the 20th century, monsters evolved yet again with contemporary films like the John Carpenter's The Thing, where the monsters represented fears of identity and the alien, the unknown threat in plain sight. Freddy Krueger from the Nightmare on Elm Street series and Jason from the Friday the 13th movies and Michael Myers from the Halloween movies, they evolved and represented the indefinable, relentless evil that defies logic or morality when we can't explain why people have behaved in a way that they started to behave. And when these characters were created, especially Michael Myers originally, the idea of the serial killer had actually made its way into popular culture and into the news, because we were starting to realise and capture serial killers more and more and find out. We couldn't get our heads around what made them do it. We still can't, in many circumstances, get heads around what made these people behave this way. So Freddy, Jason and Michael became the kind of embodiments of that fear of this unknown creature that was suddenly seemed to be making the news almost on a monthly basis, and it was the idea of the serial killer. Why then do we continue to create and revel in monstrous tales? Well, monsters serve as a sort of cultural catharsis. They force us to face uncomfortable truths about our own nature, the world around us. It allows us to vicariously conquer our deepest fears from the safety of an armchair or a cinema seat. And it makes us able to understand more about our own experiences, in terms of we can kind of almost compartmentalize events that might have been horrible. I mean, you know, anyone who's been caught in a fire, for example, that is a horrible event. And you try to make sense of it. And the idea that monsters can spawn out of that, the fire was alive. We actually say that the fire was like a living thing. And it all comes down to that same kind of psychological need to find some way to explain things that are really horrific and unexplainable. They also, monsters, I think, manifest societal issues, whether it's the dehumanizing effects of technology, the unknown horrors of disease, the primal fears of death and the dark, and they give us tools to process those anxieties, to articulate what haunts us in the shadows and in our nightmares. And as we look at the realm of modern monsters, we see creatures like their ancient counterparts, and mirrors that reflect our inner fears and societal anxieties, as we've said. But in today's context, these monsters take on new forms and address new concerns and themes relevant to contemporary audiences. For example, I talked about The Thing earlier. That movie speaks to the psyche, and it really is about the idea of monstrous representations of identity and otherness. So The Thing delves deep into fears surrounding identity and the other, and it symbolizes, I think, this paranoia and distrust that can arise from unknown threats, particularly ones that seem indistinguishable from ourselves. In a world where identity definitely does feel fragile and societal acceptance is coveted, the monster in The Thing embodies the terror of being consumed or replaced by something alien. The Alien series itself represents fear of the unknown and the uncontrollable. And as innovations in science and technology, while often positive, they also provoke fears of uncontrollable consequences. Monsters like those in the Alien and Predator, for example, they represent our anxieties around space explorations and the unknown horrors that might lie beyond our world. These narratives often explore themes of technological advancement gone awry and reflect societal concerns about the ethics and risks of scientific progress. And again, if we return to Freddy Krueger, for example, from the Nightmare on Elm Street series, in particular digs into the psyche by embodying guilt and the haunting nature of past traumas. Freddy, as a supernatural killer invading dreams, represents a profound fear of the inescapable nature of our personal demons and the sins of the past manifesting in the present. Whereas characters like Michael Myers from Halloween and Jason from Friday the 13th, they tap into the fear of indiscriminate, unstoppable violence, and these figures challenge the notion of safety in familiar and what we would think to be safe environments, and they portray that fear of evil that is ever present and can strike at any moment. And this taps really into the growing sense of vulnerability of everyday life, and it critiques the notion of urban and suburban security. In other words, it just makes us confront our immorality and our mortality. Now, as you said, monsters continue to serve as a form of cultural catharsis, and they do this by providing a means for which individuals and societies can grapple with their fears in a controlled and consumable manner. By externalising these internal anxieties, whether they be about identity, technological progress, societal breakdown, personal trauma, monsters allow us to face those fears, reflect upon them, and often triumph over them, even if only in narrative form. But as new societal issues arise, modern monsters evolve accordingly. We only have to look at the Saw, the fascination with the Saw movies, for example, which I don't get personally. But these evolving monsters always lurk at the fringes of human imagination, and they ensure that they remain relevant and deeply disturbing reflections of who we are and what we fear. So at the end of the day, the monsters really are as timeless as humanity itself is, and they evolve all the time to meet the different cultural and psychological needs of their time. They reveal as much about us as they do about the stories we tell. As Stephen King said, monsters are real and ghosts are real too. They live inside us and sometimes they win. And that, I think, more than anything, captures this whole idea of why the monster motif is so important in terms of the human psyche and its inability to explain often unexplainable events and occurrences or desires and feelings. It's the monster inside, or it's the monster outside that corralled us into acting this way. All kinds of different explanations, but it all comes back to the nub of the fact that somewhere deep in our psyche, we have fears and anxieties that we seek to explain and we can't, so therefore we create a monster motif that will fit the bill. So I hope you've enjoyed that little run through the idea of why monsters are so important. As always, there'll be a corresponding post in the forum, which is darreninform.com/thinkworksforum. You'll find a post for today's episode, and you can go and comment in there and ask questions, and I'll answer you and also respond to your comments and just join in the discussion. And as I say, in a few weeks, we'll be having a good look at the whole idea of the vampire and the Dracula and how that reflects societal fears and even deep, dark desires. Ooh. So join me for that. And we've got some more great episodes coming up soon as well. I'm going to be starting the Eastern Philosophy 101 very soon. That will be a series of four. We've got Steve Lowe joining us for the breakout episodes of Unexplained Mysteries. We're going to be looking at Jack the Ripper first. And in the second episode of that, we'll be looking also at the Roanoke disappearances, which is just one of the most creepy tales of a mass disappearance that you can imagine. So we've got loads of things coming up here on ThinkWorks. Stay with us. I hope you're enjoying the series. Let me know if there's any particular subject you'd like me to tackle as well, and we'll see about doing that in a future episode. Until then, everyone, stay safe. It's a crazy world out there, getting crazier by the minute by the looks of it. But we'll keep on trying to ask the right questions and get people engaged in a proper discourse, shall we? That's me and you, the listener. Let's just ignore what everyone else is doing and try and create our own little path. There we go. Take care. See you all soon.
Would like to find out more or join in with the conversation, our forum has a corresponding post for you to comment in. Simply go to darreninform.com/thinkworksforum and join in the fun. Or you can join the Facebook page by searching for @DarrenInform for news, tips and other helpful strategies. The show was hosted by Darren Smithson and the music is by Alexander Nakarada. You have been listening to ThinkWorks, the podcast for thinkers.